I'm going to talk about something that's come up, and I want everyone here to be prepared how to respond to this, because what I've discovered is in traveling in other states and indeed other countries, is that there is among, and we've all known people who are addicted to drama. And it took a little while to let this sink in as to what the issue was really dealing with. So today I want to show you the steps of how to help people overcome the drama in lives when they're addicted to drama, and how that relates. Now, the blessing of little children is often, when we do that, is referred to Matthew 19 and in verse 13 about children, the little children coming to Jesus, and that he might put his hands on them and pray, but they were turned away by the very followers of Jesus, which I thought, you know, I thought, well, that would be terrible. You know, we don't want to turn anybody away. And yet he's talking there about little children in the physical sense. And yet we understand this to also include the little children in the spiritual sense. If we read the very next verse in Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." So there are certain characteristics or qualities among children, and that's been spoken of over the years. But I just wanted to draw the relationship between learning about physical children and then spiritual children, because we're all spiritual children. But physical children need drama. Just think about it. Physical children, they're helpless. When they're born, the only way that they can communicate that they're thirsty is if they cry. If they're hungry, they can cry. If they're tired, they get fussy, and they fuss, and they cry. Or if they're wet. And so what other means do they have? Fidgeting? Perhaps they're dirty. Maybe they're cold or hot. Because babies, we dress them, you know, we don't always think of them as, because if we're okay, but that doesn't mean they're okay. So babies can be cold or hot. Sometimes I see in cold weather little ones out with no cap or no cap on, and I just shudder. Or they're exposed to bright sunlight in the summertime, and you know there's a big sunburn coming on now, on something like that, and then they're going to be uncomfortable. Maybe the clothes are pinched a little bit. How do you know? All they can do is cry or try to express themselves. They need the drama to get attention. My little brother. There are four boys in the family. Little brother, about 4 years younger, didn't talk when he was young. He just was one of those non-talkers. And it was quite a while, a year and a half, 2 years, and he wasn't really talking. The parents were a little concerned. And he was still caged in a crib. I remember that part. And one day, it wasn't plastic bottles then. They had glass bottles that he was feeding on. And one day he just picked that bottle up and chucked it out of the crib and announced to the world, "I want a drink of water." Well, that was his first words were a whole sentence. The only way he could really indicate his frustration was his needs weren't being met. They weren't being taken care of. So he had to burst out and just let him have it. So he created a scene. And you know, when that bottle goes flying, there's going to be a scene. So physical and spiritual children can have unmet needs, and how they deal with those unmet needs early in life can lead to excessive attention seeking. And if it continues on and those needs aren't met, it can lead eventually to a drama addiction. And we all know people who have the drama addiction. All you have to do is go back to middle school, and there's always that corner table over there, or the one or maybe in the middle where that's the drama table, and there's always something going on over there. And if you want a pleasant life, you stay away from the drama table, unless, of course, you're one of the drama people. Then you go kick it over and make that happen. So we have a verse in John 8:34. The problem with some of the drama, when it gets to be excessive, can lead us to sin. And we know the results of that sin makes us, and if it's repeated, we are a slave to sin, meaning that's the sin becomes our master. So whether little children grow up without maturity, the same thing may be true with spiritual children, and we just have to look at the children of Israel to look at those stories, and we have many books in the Bible about the paths of the children of Israel through time. But whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. That's really directing their lives. If we take a look at James 5, verses 16 and 17, we're instructed what to do is to not simply react to our own immediate needs. If we're physical children, we're told by the Apostle James, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish." There's an impediment. There's a block. There is a speed bump that says, my spiritual growth may be blocked by what my physical demands are, my physical attention getting can be a problem for my spiritual growth. If we take a look at James 5, verses 19 through 21, this is really a nasty list. And we look at this, if we're just left to our own devices without spiritual growth or guidance, we read about the natural consequences of physical actions by people. James 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are," and there's a list, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So now we're looking at both physical activities that impede our spiritual growth, our spiritual life. And you notice in verse 21, it says, "and the like." This is not a complete list. There's going to be other things there that involve this, the drama part of life, where people are seeking for their own benefit or for what they see, think is their benefit to gain attention. If we take a look, first of all, we need to know what's it going to take to overcome the addiction to drama. And first of all, it's important to recognize that drama, addiction to drama does exist. And we've all, somewhere along the line, seen it. Now, to be fair, attention seeking is not a character flaw. Okay? It's a brain-wired response to early development when we're babies. I mean, but what happens is then neglect can cause that to continue. What if the baby is simply neglected? They're going to make even more dramatic announcements and so forth and do whatever it takes to get attention. I do know that if the sheep are out of water at home, I'm going to hear about it. You know how? Do they come up and have a little discussion and say, "Mr. Martins, we know that you've owned us for years. It's time we had a little chat about our needs. So how about if you fill the water, say, a little more frequently?" Or do they have another way to explain to me what their demands are? I can hear it when the car drives up the driveway and they see me get out of the car. And I think immediately, what? They're thirsty or they are hungry. What went wrong here with the great plan of taking care of the sheep? Children are no different. Adults are no different for seeking the kind of attention accordingly. So addiction to drama does exist. Now, the drama can be an impediment to spiritual growth. So let's take a look at the symptoms. You know, people who just lurch along chaotically in life, just going from one crisis to another. We all know them. And I want to give you the tools today to be able to help them, because they're going to engage you in your life somewhere along the way. And you've probably bumped into a number of them across the as we go down the path. Perhaps they're saying it's somebody else's fault. Not my fault. This always happens to me. Why is God treating me this way and not looking after me? It's somebody else's fault. Couldn't possibly be anything that I did to cause the latest crisis. So they've not even done with the previous crisis and they're on to the next one. Now, as you know, and I'm putting stuff up here, things that you already know, they like to make big things out of little things. Really quite remarkable on how to make a mountain out of a molehill, as we've often heard. And that kind of attention-seeking sounds so dramatic. These same people find it difficult to let go or forgive. They're always calling up something in the past. Something has wronged them. There's some issue along the way. Now, we're not talking about ordinary situations that anybody can fall into from time to time. It's a pattern of behavior, that prevents spiritual maturity. So we've got to keep acknowledging that it exists in order to overcome it. Now, the drama seekers' relationships are never smooth. Oh boy, you want to buy a ticket and watch the parade on this one, because there's always going to be drama in the relationships. And the crisis that's continually going on in their lives, they feel compelled to stir it up because they can't handle silence. That's just empty. There's got to be something there. And that makes it hard for relationships. And oftentimes relationships crash and burn, but never worry. They are experts at finding new people to then engage in the drama. So when we look around, we say, well, the drama people are there. And some people have had enough of the drama and they back away. The drama seeker then will find other people to be able to exercise their attention-seeking behavior. So first of all, recognizing that it does exist, and I think I'm preaching to the choir here. Everybody has come into these people somewhere along the way. That is, so the next step is to understand the reasons for the addiction to drama. So once we understand that it exists, now we look at the reasons. And we've discussed earlier how the babies have unmet emotional needs. And sometimes that continues on from childhood. Now, that can be a behavioral thing from a child, generally because of neglect, can happen because of neglect or abuse. Then we also have learned patterns of dealing with problems. Well, that's how my caregiver did it, so therefore I'm going to do the same thing. And we've all seen, I did have, it was, must be 20 years ago, there was a principal that I had the misfortune of working for. And I saw this principal leaning over some little fifth or sixth grade kid, just screaming at him about 2 feet away, just really giving the kid what for. Now, I don't doubt that the kid was guilty of something. But this is the kind of behavior that this principal, who's no longer there, I've checked, becomes learned behavior. Well, that's how we deal with problems, so I'm going to do that too. Well, the kid certainly got attention, negative attention, but sometimes the negative attention's okay for those who are addicted to drama. So we have this learned pattern of behavior. So we recognize that addiction to drama exists. We understand the reasons for it are generally deprivation or neglect or abuse from early age on, or caregiver treatment. Well, then, how do we overcome all of this? There's got to be a reason and a manner that to overcome it. And I put down here for this point three, and there's only 3 points that I want to go over with today, and that is, how to overcome it is to seek fulfillment from positive life experiences. Now, because it's not a character flaw, this seeking life experiences lets us think, well, is this possible to overcome this problem? For many people, they don't. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It doesn't. So here are some tools. If people want to overcome it, you can help them with these tools. First of all, is to have goals. I remember years ago listening to a Zig Ziglar presentation. He said, for people that have specific goals, their direct daily activity to accomplish those goals will keep them focused. And what is one of those, of course, is in Matthew 6:33. What should be a daily goal? And that's seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, and it has positive things, will be afforded to you. So that really should be a priority. If we're going to have goals, let's put that in right at the top. Seek first the kingdom of God. So having goals is critical. What's another positive life experience is offering positive attention to other people, such as gratitude. How often do we go about life assuming that people know that we're grateful? That will help the attention seeker know that what they did and how they did it was beneficial. The positive attention to others is something that we can all practice and help the attention seeker learn something in a very positive manner. And then for the attention seeker, we can suggest they give themselves credit for walking away from potential drama. There's a reward, not having more drama. Now they're wanting to get more drama. That's their entire characteristic of their nature. But remember, they have goals. It'll impede their goals. One of the goals could be preach the gospel to all the world. And we read that in Mark 16, verse 15. What does it say? Preach the good news to everyone. That's in the Common English Version. King James is to preach to all the world, or to the New King James. So if you replace that desire for that attention with the goals that are biblically and positively placed, it will give the tools to be able to walk away from potential drama. Now, as I've had to tell some, and I do talk to people in other states and other countries, there's an old legal expression, and that is, you do not walk over and kick a sleeping dog and wake it up and see if it's mean and will bite you. That summarized is let sleeping dogs lie. There are some things you let alone. But you know, the addiction to drama is such that some people have to go stir it up when it's quiet and just feel compelled to do so. If we take a look at Galatians 5:22, and I want you to take a look at the list of the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit. The list is quite an interesting list. And one way to build up credit for oneself is to go through Galatians 5:22 and make that a practice list. Am I practicing? And then go down the line, love, joy, peace, and so forth. Or am I doing the opposite? So we can help people by referring them to Galatians 5:22. We want to avoid 5:21, which is the lust of the flesh, but then practice Galatians 5:22 so that they can see that there is a benefit. There is a reward for walking away from potential drama. Now, there's some scriptures here that I do want to go over that are reasons for overcoming the addiction to drama. If we read in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul wrote to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need the stability in life The people around us need stability in life, and we can help them by using God's Spirit, which He promises to us at baptism and the receipt of the Holy Spirit, for the power of God, for love, and the gift of a sound mind. We want that. So let's think of 2 Timothy 1:7. Another supporting scripture. The people who have great difficulty with addiction to drama is in Proverbs 25:28. In Proverbs 25:28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Well, let's imagine now a city, and a conquering force is coming, and there's no walls to deter them. They're open and available to any attack anywhere. In our lives, we don't need to be open to attack anywhere and always. We need to put up the barriers, and that's the rule of our own spirit, so you can help somebody by showing that self-control is critical, ruling our own spirit. We can't just say, well, I really had to do that. Well, that's what I always do. Or even worse, God told me to do it. Which some people think that if they have the feeling, then somehow they're spiritually motivated. That's why we need breaks to control our own spirit, rule of our own spirit. Another supporting scripture in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, again, after baptism and the receipt of the Holy Spirit, we are aware of the salvation that God has offered to us. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So we have to measure behavior. And those people we know that are drama addicts really need to measure their behavior against a godly standard by putting away their inclinations for worldly lusts, which lead to ungodliness, which we know sin leads to death. So what it says, live righteously. Righteously means doing the right thing according to God's laws. Another supporting scripture is Ephesians 5:15. In Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, you think, well, I'm always careful. I'm wise enough to know what's going on. Mama didn't raise no fool here. I can get by. I can do this. Why do you suppose this scripture is here? Let's take a look at one that follows up in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you go out of your house every morning wondering if the lion is in the street and is going to take a chunk out of you? We should be thinking about that spiritually. That's what we face day after day, month after month, year after year, is that this is why we have to stay close to God. So the reason we work circumspectly is because we need to be wise. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be sober and vigilant, because there is an adversary that does not want us to participate in the plan of God, to enjoy the kingdom of God as we just experienced in the Feast of Tabernacles. Satan would like nothing better than to stop and block us from being able to do that, to enjoy that, and to follow God's plan. Another supporting scripture is in 2 Peter 2:19. In 2 Peter 2:19, and I'm going to use the English Revised Version on this verse. False teachers promise people freedom, but they themselves are not free. They are slaves to a mind that has been ruined by sin. Yes, people are slaves to anything that controls them. That's pretty scary. So what controls us? Some people are controlled. Everybody's controlled by a little something different that's always nagging or nibbling around the edges. And that's a challenge. So we become a slave to whatever controls us. But what do the false teachers say? You're free. You can do whatever you want. Why, I've got the right to blingity blink, 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 whatever it happens to be. But then they find, or maybe they don't find, but their mind then becomes ruined by sin. And it leads them away. So we don't want to be a slave to what controls us. We want to be in charge of what God has given us, the ability to choose and to make right choices. So then we can look at Galatians 5:1, another supporting scripture. In Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Well, this is interesting because it says Christ made us free. There's a certain amount of liberty. And that's often used by those who hate the commandments of God to say, I'm free to sin. It's no big deal. Right there. It says it there. It's not a problem. I can do what I want. I can still pretend to be a Christian and do whatever I want. And yet, it says, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's a caveat. There's a second half to that verse. What is the yoke of bondage? Well, that would be sin. Sin leads to death. So don't be yoked to things that bring us to sin. We're free to make our choices. In fact, we're free from the outcome of sin because we don't sin. That's the whole idea. What we are given is this opportunity in life to demonstrate what it's like to follow God and God's plan. And we're told, don't be entangled. Notice it says the word again. All of us were entangled at one time. And we kind of don't want to do that again. We came out of that. We want to stay out of that because that's a yoke of bondage. Ever seen a yoke, whether it's on a horse or an oxen? They're not going anywhere. They are controlled by that yoke. So are we controlled, or someone you know is controlled by that yoke of bondage, the addiction to drama? Another supporting scripture is, and that's wrong, it should be Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, a supporting scripture. What are we called on to do in this life? In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, Galatians 5:21 tells us bad outcomes. 5:22 tells us good outcomes. So I'm going to give you a piece of advice that my dad gave to me the week before he died in 2004. And I asked him a big question. And I said, Dad, I've got a really big decision to make. How should I make this decision? And he said something interesting. I never forgot it. He said, ask yourself, where will you be in 5 years if I make this decision? And let that enter into your decision-making process. This is the same thing that we look at in a Christian life. Where will I be if I make this decision? And to help us discern what is the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. Those who are addicted to drama, what do they have? They don't ask that question. It's whatever is the immediate issue to cause some excitement. That silence has to be broken. So we have this opportunity each and every day to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, and that we have the capacity to test what God wants for us. So overcoming our addiction to drama, first of all, we have to recognize that addiction to drama does exist. We have to understand the reasons for the addiction to drama, and often it's because of neglect and abuse along the way, whether it's as an infant. And we have to, in order to overcome it, we need to seek fulfillment from positive life experiences. Now, this is true both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, to be able to seek that fulfillment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to use the tools when you come across the drama that attempts to involve you in your life so that you might better avoid the downside of that and be able to help others avoid it as well.